This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. It's time for the Klang Valley's biggest conversation, Talk Back on the Evening Edition, only on BFM 89.9.
It's Talk Back. You're with Caroline O and me, Ezra Zayed. And this evening, we're going to be talking about organ donation. Yesterday, it was reported that the organ donation rate for organ and tissue transplants in Malaysia is among the lowest in the world. The current rate, it stands at one donor per 1 million population.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, ever so often there's this rallying cry, right, in the news urging Malaysians to sign up as organ donors. But that number, while I understand it's going up, it isn't anywhere near enough to meet the demand. So today on Talkback, what we'd like to do is extend that call for more organ donors and also to facilitate the discussion, we have a very special guest with us.
Yes, we have with us Dalin Dr. Leila. She's the head of the National Transplant Resource Centre. So if you have any questions with regards to organ donation, you can call us at 03-771-09000 right now or text us at 016-201-9000, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're talking about organ donation this evening and asking you if you think it should be made mandatory. And as mentioned, I mean, the numbers are pretty low, especially in Malaysia, among the lowest in the world. Current rate, one donor per 1 million population. Ideally, at the end of this program, Caroline, we'd like to increase that number.
We would.
Quite significantly.
Yeah, so if you'd like to sign up to be an organ donor, our producers are actually on standby to get your contact details to be passed on to Dr. Leila this evening.
Yeah, Dr. Leila, thank you very much for joining us on the program. Let's begin with some of the basics about organ donation. What are the main reasons as to why the take-up rate is quite low?
Well, we used to think, is it religion that is the causing the objection, but we have been working with all the religious bodies,
sure,
and we said they have been supportive, and we have seen in the past couple of years that actually with the help of the religious bodies, for the Muslim, because Muslim used to be the lowest before, mm-hmm, the Muftis, the other religious leaders, actually the numbers have been going up. That's mm-hmm why we reach one.
Right.
When I talk about one per million population, it's actual number of organ donors that donated after death.
Right.
But we also have, we did see an increment in the number of donors the last 2 years. We have seen increment in the number of pledges. Okay, and we thought, wow, great, maybe we are breaking that wall that I have been hitting,
yeah,
you know, for the last, I don't know how many years, mm-hmm, because we thought we are going there. But, and we have already covered a lot of the questions and uncertainty about what about the body. Is the body in a good condition?
Yeah.
When we donate, when somebody donates, are we causing a mutilation to the... I think we have, to a certain extent, managed to convince and persuade the public that, you know, this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But what we see this year, and I'm especially concerned this year, that rise that we thought would just take off suddenly just plummet.
It didn't create the momentum that you'd
expect.
Yes,
and we thought it will be a self, you know, it will carry on the momentum. But what we saw suddenly, it just fell down just like that. We had 71 donors last year, actual donors, of which 30 were organ donors. The rest were tissue donors.
Right, 71 donors, yeah, over the whole year.
Yes, that is a rise from 56.
Mm-hmm.
56 the year before, 47 the year before, that was a rise.
Mm-hmm.
But we are seeing that but of that, only 31 were organ donors after brain death, but the rest were tissue donors.
Right.
Were tissue donors after cardiac death. So what we see is that why suddenly this plummet? And I could only explain that when I go to the social media, I see that a lot of things have been viralized.
Okay.
A lot
like bad misinformation?
Yes. It starts off when a donor family, somebody who has donated and donated twice, mind you, you know, two of her family members who died at different times donated. Suddenly she sent me this newspaper cutting in a Chinese newspaper to say that heart is being sold for this price, kidney is being sold for. And she said, is this what is happening in this country? I wrote there and I said, no, it's not possible that it's happening here because we are monitoring. It's not like in countries like China or India where there are so many transplant centres that it's hard to control.
Yeah.
We have very few transplant centres and we monitor all hospitals.
Okay, maybe let's take it back for folks who are curious, who they haven't signed up yet. We're encouraging listeners right now to call in with your questions, 03-771-09000. So walk us through the process of somebody who signed up, and let's say that person passes away on a Monday. What happens when it comes to the process of what takes place next?
Okay, it depends on what sort of death. If it is a brain death, then it is possible for him to or her to donate organs. And if assuming that he hasn't got any other contraindication, that means nothing that will prevent the death, that's not making him suitable becoming a donor. Let's say he had an accident. He had come to the hospital with a very severe head injury. The doctors will do everything to try and save his life. First point, even if you carry a card, that doesn't mean your care and treatment is going to be affected. Nobody matters. Take home message one. You know, we try to save lives, and the first life that we want to save is the one that is in front of you. Okay, but despite everything that is done, this patient is on ventilator, unconscious, and he has got surgery done, let's say, to remove blood clot, but because it is a severe brain injury, it is possible that he can also become brain dead. Let me just explain a bit what brain death is. Now, the brain is in the skull. When the brain is swollen, you know, and has a lot of blood, if the blood may be able to be removed, but a swollen brain, it's got no room. And when it swells up, the pressure in the brain can rise very high because it's being you know, there's no room in that area. And that rise in pressure can sometimes affect the blood flow that is being pumped by the heart, the beating heart. So the blood with the oxygen cannot reach the brain. Brain doesn't get oxygen, it suffers more secondary damage. This is what we talked about, secondary damage. Unlike other areas that gets swollen, it swells up, it comes out, it doesn't matter. In the brain, it
very
can.
Very sensitive.
Yes, it can become. And when finally it doesn't get any blood supply at all, it can die. Now, if it is not on a ventilator, if the person is not on a ventilator, he just stops breathing, the heart stops, because he's dead. But because at that moment he's on a ventilator, his heart will continue to beat, but he will show no signs, you know, no signs of life, like in terms of response. When that happens, doctors then will do two tests to confirm, is he brain dead or not, okay? And when the first test shows brain death, they will repeat another test, second, about 6 hours later, to confirm and to certify. When the first test, if it's confirmed, the second test, you know, is just for certification.
Sure.
So normally when that happens, they will refer the case to us, because we at NTRC, we also, apart from the pledging and all that, we also manage donors. They will refer the case to us, and then we will see, is he suitable or not?
And how quick of a time frame are we talking about?
Okay, this is only the first test that's been done.
Yes.
We still need another 6 hours to do the second test. So we have time, because we know if first test shows brain death, the second will only confirm.
But is this a regular practice in every hospital within?
We are trying to implement that, but
right,
of course it doesn't. In the government hospital, it's being picked up much more, but in the private and maybe even the university, it's not so much.
Is there a reason for that?
Well, it is seen as extra work. Okay, let me go through still. So when they refer the case to us, we will then communicate with the transplant centres like IJN or HKL or Selayang, HKL for kidneys, Selayang for liver and kidney, and IJN maybe for heart and lung. And then we say, hey, we have got this potential. He's still be on a ventilator. We are still maintaining his blood pressure. But the first test has shown that he's brain dead, but we need to confirm with the second. Okay, at that stage, the doctors in the managing the patient and what we call this top team that we have set up in this hospital that was supposed to manage the donor will talk to the family, not to get consent, but at that stage just to find out what is this person's wish. But we only do that if the family has accepted that this person is dead.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't accept the person is dead, no way is he going to...
I'd like to continue through that process. But before that, very quickly, just going to let you know that the lines are open. You can call in if you have any questions for Dr. Leila.
Yes, 03-771-09000. Text us at 016-201-9000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. If you're an organ donor, do call us and tell us what your thoughts and feelings were as you were leading up to signing. Because I think clearly from the numbers, a lot of people have a certain element of curiosity, ambiguous or ambivalence.
Being unable to reconcile a lot of things still, even though a lot of awareness has been put through. So we're asking you that. Also, some countries have an opt-out situation, also asking you whether or not you think organ donation should be made mandatory. Call us on 03-771-09000 to have your say. So Dr. Leila, so you were talking about at that point when, you go and meet the family.
Yeah. Okay, so if the family has sort of accepted, we still have not confirmed. But we know that it's going to be confirmed. So we actually, in the meantime, we talked to the transplant center and we said we got this patient on who is already looks like brain dead and he's this blood group, this condition, this blood pressure. Do you have a recipient? Are the organs all right for you? Because we will then do all investigation to see which organs are still usable and whether this donor has any infection or any illness that may not that may contradict, from the patient becoming a donor. And at the same time, we try to maintain, because the heart is beginning to wanting to stop.
Yeah.
Organs are going haywire because of that brain death. We have to try and maintain and delay that. And in the process, where if the family is ready, we ask them to talk. We talk about that. If that person has a donor card, it's so much easier.
Yeah.
Because then we know the wish.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, we talk to the family. Even if he doesn't have a donor card, the family has a right to donate on their behalf. Even if he has a donor card, family's consent is still required.
Right. And however, at that point, it's really difficult, especially when there isn't a donor card available. We are actually going to head over to the phones.
Yes. Of course, call us at 03-771-09000. Text us at 016-201-9000. We're speaking about organ donation. We're asking the question, should organ donation be made mandatory? Currently, the rate stands at one donor per 1 million population. Call us if you are or are not an organ donor and tell us why. Satish is on the line. Hi, Satish. Thanks for calling.
Hi, guys. Pleasure. Just have two questions for doctor.
Yes.
Question number one is, I just went to the system a few weeks back to register myself as an organ donor.
Yes.
Okay, first thing,
Can you repeat the question because your voice is very soft.
He said he just went to register.
Oh, I see. You just went to register. Okay.
I just registered. I mean, I done the registration a few years back and I they gave me a card and I lost it and I was a bit bothered, how are they going to keep track of it, because I, so finally they have a system where you can go and register, which is very good, but my first question is this, assuming I'm really in the outskirts of Malaysia, Kedah or something like that, and something happened to me, they can harvest my organ, is there an integrated system where the doctors will know that this guy is an organ donor, although he's in Kedah, probably can just, bring him to the nearest hospital to ours. That's my first question. Second question is, in University of Malaya Hospital, there is this program on where you can donate your body.
Yes, the silent mentor.
Yes, that thingy. Assuming we have registered for it, is there a legal binding where even the family members can decide after that, there is some truffle somewhere, they say, I want the body back or something like that.
All right.
They do not understand the fact that, I'm doing it for science.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for that, Satish. So a couple of questions there. The first one being whether or not there's an integrated system across the country. Let's start with that.
Okay. We have, I told you, the top teams have been set up in all government hospital. And even now we are going into university hospital and even the private hospitals, or at least some kind of a top team, that whenever there is a potential donor, they will pick that up and then they will refer the case to us. But of course, we have a lot also missed cases because it depends very much how well that team is functioning and whether it's available in that hospital. So assuming for organ donation, it must be somebody who dies by brain death. Now, brain death can only occur in the ICU because you have to be on a ventilator.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not on a ventilator, your heart will stop. It becomes a circulatory death.
Right.
So when there is a brain death, they actually will, the SOP is that when they've done the first test, they are supposed to refer to us. Of course, as I said, we are missing a few things because depending on how good the top team is, if the and also if the team is not picking up, we are also reminding the family members or the those who have signed up, please inform the family members, because they can also.
And that leads us to the second question that he had, whether or not families can contest what he's put that what you know a donor has put down.
Okay, what he has put down is for the silent mentor. Now, silent mentor must be with family consent, and before you can even sign for it, it has to be with consultation with the whole family and family consensus. If the family has arguments about it, actually, University of Malaya Hospital will not accept that person for the silent mentor. And in actual fact, at the end of the day, the body is actually returned back. The silent mentor, the only thing is they keep the body for some time until it could be used for the as at a course for teaching, and when they do the it's not like a dissection, it's like surgery, and at the end of it they do up the body very nicely, and the body is returned back in an honored way. So that means, but if there is no consent from family, they cannot do it.
They can't do it. All right, folks, we're talking about organ donation. In the studio with us is Datin Dr. Leila, head of the National Transplant Resource Center. And we're taking in your calls at 03-7710-9000.
We're trying to get to your calls as soon as we can, so keep them coming in.
We'll be right back after these messages on Talkback BFM 89.9.
Get in touch right now. Call 03-7710-9000. Text 01620-19000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Talkback on BFM 89.9.
It's Talkback with Caroline and Ezra. We're discussing whether organ donation should be made mandatory. It was reported that the organ donation rate for organ and tissue transplants in this country is among the lowest in the world. The current rate stands at one donor per 1 million population. To shed some light on this issue, in the studio with us is Datin Dr. Leila, head of the National Transplant Resource Center. And the reason she's here in the studio today is to answer a lot of the questions that we have if we haven't signed up, and she's going to give you every reason why you should sign up. We need that number to go up quite dramatically, and we've got some calls who are waiting on the line right now as well.
We're also running a poll asking you whether or not you're an organ donor, with 25% who've replied saying yes, 44% saying no, 27% saying that they will sign up, 4% saying never. So keep on
4%
voting.
Saying never. Never. I mean, I want to hear from that 4%. If you want to call in and tell us why, 03-7710-9000. Russell has been waiting very patiently on the line. Russell, thanks for calling in.
Hi, good evening, Caroline, Ezra, and Dr. Datin.
Just Dr. Leila would, Jeff.
Okay. I'm a registered organ donor, actually, in my home country, Australia.
Yes.
And we actually have an opt-out system. So basically, when you get your driver's license, you fill up a form, and this form you actually have to tick to opt out of being an organ donor. And it's a very efficient system. Most people, I think it's about 70%, elect to be an organ donor, and it's actually printed on the back of your license card. We have quite a high organ donor program in Australia because of this. So I think they should introduce this into Malaysia, where it's an opt-out system, where you're automatically an organ donor unless you tick a box to say you don't want to be.
Terrific stuff. Thank you very much for that, Russell. And I guess that's interesting.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, absolutely.
Russell, I work very closely with the my Australian counterpart. In actual fact, in your registered driving license, you have that point. Do you want to donate? Whether yes, not sure, or no. Definitely when you say no, they will not ask. But when they say yes or not sure, they still ask the person. So it's not quite what you call opt out. When you talk about opt out, you're talking about, you say that you have to register to say that you are not wanting to donate, and if you don't register, there is nothing. You don't have to opt in to say that you will register.
Okay.
Okay. And so that's different than opt out.
And is that a consideration that has been toying about for here in Malaysia? Because I know also, I think in the United States as well, with regards to the driving licenses, there is that similar thing.
That's why, because in many countries, including Singapore, and like Spain, Spain has the highest number of donors, and they practice opt-out, so do Portugal, Austria, and a lot of the Eastern European. They say that maybe the opt-out is the way to go. A lot of people have been trying to say that. But as I said, to opt out, it means you must express your wish not to donate. If you do not express your objection, your organs belong to the state. That means we do not have to ask consent. We do not have to ask anything we could actually take. But it because that you should, that there should be you should be well versed, or you should know your rights. You should know that well informed. Every citizen must be well informed that if you don't want to donate, you mustn't be on this objection.
Right.
And I think many countries, even US, find that difficult to implement. And what Australia is doing is like in between. You know, you express yes and you express no. They just are not sure.
It feels like an option is there and it
There is still asking for it.
Yeah.
And even in Spain, usually what happens, they still consult the family, but they consult not to ask for consent, but to ask, has he ever said he didn't want to donate?
Okay. Right, just to double and triple verify where possible. We've got our next caller, Chong Ting, who's going to be asking a question about organ transplant. Chong Ting, you're on the air on TalkBack. What do you have to say? Chong Ting, you there? Unfortunately, he's not.
Very quickly, Adrian tweeted in saying, can a brain-dead person ever come back to life?
No. Right. A brain-dead person is dead. And if you were, if I were to tell you that even a death as we know it, that is when the heart had stopped permanently, patient, you know, has no breathing, what makes him dead is because his brain has died. Because there is no flow. The brain died last. There's no flow of oxygen, blood carrying oxygen to the brain. And it's only when that brain dies that we say the person is dead. But the brain death that we are talking about now is when brain dies before the heart had stopped. And the heart has not stopped only because he is on a ventilator. He's not breathing, but the ventilator is giving breath. But the heart will stop eventually, depending on how good the heart is.
All right, we've got a lung doctor on the line. It's Tinny. Hi, Tinny, you're on the air. Tinny, are you there?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hello? Hi, Tinny, we can hear you.
Hi,
Tinny.
I'm a respiratory consultant from the National University of Malaysia.
Right.
I just recently returned from Europe, and I was training for a year in a lung transplant program in Ireland. And I just wanted to say that essentially it just drives me nuts sometimes when my master's students, the medical students, forget about lung transplant as part of the routine standard care that we would give for certain chronic lung diseases. So, for example, over in Ireland, we saw miracles. I mean, we had a lot of cystic fibrosis patients, and we were seeing patients, you know, at the age of 20 with literally, you know, median survival of 2 years, and they get new lungs, and they become normal. You know, they couldn't breathe. They were bedbound, they were housebound, and they could have a relatively good quality of life. So, I mean, I guess this is something that I like to see through during my lifetime. And I'm just wondering, just from a local doctor point of view, in my own institution, how do I create that awareness? Because it seems to be this kind of like ignorance or, you know, shrug, like, oh, geez, you know, that's not going to happen, you know, within the next 10, 20 years. And, that really drives me nuts. Is there any way where essentially we can... increase the sense of awareness of urgency, exactly. Because I mean, I'm seeing 40 years old. I mean, the demography here in terms of lung diseases, you're seeing them at age 40, 30 years old, you know, with chronic lung disease, I think because of the TB high prevalence. And, you know, they're bedbound or they're on oxygen, and it drives me nuts that I can't even...
No, I think we certainly understand the frustration and of that issue.
And you can hear it in your voice. And we'll get to that question, Dr. Leila. We'll be able to respond right after the news. Have to head in for it. Aslin Balkis is here, ready with the news. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Hey, you. Yes, you. You in the car. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. It's time for TalkBack.
So hands-free car kits at the ready? Yes? Good. Let's talk back on BFM 89.9.
Let's talk back with Caroline and Ezra. The number to call is 03-771-09000. Text us at 016-201-9000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We're speaking about organ donation, and in the studio with us is Dr. Leila, head of the National Transplant Resource Center. Earlier, we mentioned that the current rate stands at one donor per 1 million population.
Malaysia, so it's 1 to 30 then. 1 to 30, right? It's 10%.
Yes.
Yes.
One to 30 million. That means one donor for every million.
For every million.
Yes. Wow. And that was last year. Right. I'm so afraid this year is going to go down.
Oh. Now, earlier we had a caller. Yes, and expressing, I guess, dismay at the current situation. Yes. And so part of what we're doing this evening is to create an awareness. And I guess what she was trying to get at was about the lack of urgency about this issue. Why do you think that's the case?
No, I think what she meant also is that even among her colleagues, they are not considering transplant as a means of treatment, you know, a treatment for the patients that with this end-stage lung failure.
Is it because there is a lack of supply?
Yes, because of lack of supply, people say, what's the point? Okay, what's the point? We have to make both happening at the same time. Yeah. And it's also an issue. We have actually the expertise. But if we don't have donors and they don't do the transplant, expertise will go down the drain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we end up with no expertise. We have to keep this in tandem. You know, people will not build their expertise mm-hmm. if they don't, there is no supply, as yep. as you said, for them to do. So we have to make sure that both happen at the same time. All that we know, there is a need.
All right. Folks, 03-771-09000 is the number to call. We're speaking about organ donation. We want to hear your thoughts, whether you are a donor or whether you're not. Or, more importantly, like many of us, perhaps you're considering it, but there's some sort of cultural or mental obstacle that is preventing you from doing so. It's a very easy thing nowadays. You can just go online, sign up, and boom, it's done. But if you have any questions, this is the time to call in. 03-771-09000. We're going to get back to one of our previous callers, Chong Ting. We didn't get through last time. I think let's try again. We're going to be talking about organ transplant. Chong Ting, you're on the air.
Hi, yes, okay. Hi, my name is Chong Ting. I'm working as a junior doctor. Okay, I've just got a few questions for Dr. Leila because,
yes.
I mean, in my experience, I realize that running a transplant service is something that's really expensive and it's very, very resource intensive. You know, every time you have a transplant case, you need two teams of surgeons, two teams of anesthetists. Not to mention the nursing staff, allied health, and even the transport and logistics involved. And I mean, we live in a time where the government can't afford to employ doctors, junior doctors especially, and you know, a lot of our benefits and hospital budgets have been cut. So I just want to ask Dr. Leila, you know, how is it that you managed to stay in business, and will these budget cuts and you know, with the poor economy, will this affect your service?
Okay, how do I stay in business? I'm under Ministry of Health. I'm a doctor
that helps.
In the Ministry mm-hmm. of Health. Of course, our budget, we had to, there has been cuts, definitely. But you'd be surprised, even with cuts, we still can, you know, we still can perform if we want to. At least we can get it going. Actually, if you do it, it's possible. People are always looking at the impossible, you see. So the thing is, even if we don't do as many, at least if we do enough,
yeah.
it will give hope to those that need it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if you pull, because if you think territorial, then nothing will ever be enough.
And in terms of yeah. costs, it's also a question that came in saying, who will bear the cost of organ checks? Is it the donor's bill or is it the hospital?
No, it is actually absorbed by the government. Mm-hmm. So whatever, when a person, or let's say for the donor, when a person dies, and if he is worked up as a donor, but it did not become a donor, whatever that is being managed after his death will not be charged to the family. Now, if he dies in a government hospital and he became a donor, his admission fees is actually waived. You know, this is as an incentive for people, you know, because people are grateful that the government is grateful that he has donated to help so many people. Okay, so back to just now, pooling of networking and pooling of our resources, we should be able to do something. But when you become territorial, this is belong to this hospital, that right. belongs to that hospital.
It's bureaucracy at its worst. Folks, call us at 03-771-09000. It's Tom Back. We're talking about organ donation.
And also, our producers are on the line, ready to take your details in case you'd like to indicate interest. We can pass them on to Dr. Leila so that they can contact you after the show.
We're going to move back to the phone lines. Go is on the line with a question for Dr. Leila.
Yes,
Go, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Good evening. Thank you. All right, I'll just make this as simple as possible. So I'm a layman, and this is something I read on the news a couple of years ago. In U.S., there was this man whose son was in a coma, and the doctors were actually ready to prepare for the organ donation. And he actually held the doctors in gunpoint and made them just hold on. Because he was sure that the son was actually not brain dead yet, and because they actually said he was brain dead. But in the end, his son actually recovered. He was actually out of his coma. So that's my concern, in the sense that if we were to like sign up as a donor, how would you know that you are actually really brain dead? How long would they actually take before they certify that this donor is already, that's beyond a point of hope, and they'll just proceed with this organ donation.
No, the problem is sometimes people use the term brain death very loosely.
Right.
And that can also happen even among the medical fraternity.
Well, that's concerning. The medical fraternity is being a bit loose with the term brain death.
That is why people say, oh, this patient is clinical dead, without actually doing the test. Mm. Doing the test is actually a very, it has a very stringent criteria, and you have to correct a lot of things before you can do it. And before you know, you have to do the test and you have to be very sure about it. And for us anyway, we are not the one that take the organs or that do the test. But when the case is referred to us, we actually go down and see how they do that test. Does it follow the SOP? Does it follow the proper protocol? Was everything normalized when they do it? Because we all have to be very sure that you do not take organs from the dead. So I think in that case, I have read, even in among the U.S., they actually did not do the test properly. And
it's a very dramatic circumstance as well when, the person in question actually recovers.
Because a person who is brain dead is definitely dead. But it's a matter of how you do that test and how stringent that is done. And that is the thing that is very important.
We're going to move on to the next caller. JV is on the line. JV, you have a question for Datin Dr. Leila. Please go ahead.
Hi, Datin.
Hi.
It's an absolute pleasure to hear you talk. I was wondering, for laymen like me, if I want to be a donor, do we have any say in the selection process? Who can we donate to after, like, if you make any... Because, I don't want my organs to go to some drug addict or maybe, he's a convicted criminal or something like that. Can we make a selection process in that, write down that, in the system before we become a registration member? Or is there any validation or filtering process for that?
Can I answer?
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Donation, you're talking about deceased donation, that means donation after you die. It has to be unconditional. It is altruistic, it has to be unconditional. You may consider it for your family member, but even then, if it is for family member, it has to be that it's a suitable match and that family member is in the fit enough state to undergo the surgery, because we don't want to hasten his death if he's done that, he's not in a fit state.
Mm.
But if can we give it to a particular race? Can we give it to not give it to this person or that person?
You want to give it to your favorite barber? It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. It has to be unconditional. When it becomes conditional, we actually do not accept.
Yep, and then I suppose that answers one of the questions that came in, asking whether or not the recipient gets to choose, whether it's the same ethnicity, same race as the donor.
You're talking about recipient now. Whenever we actually offer to the transplant, and if the case is a marginal case, let's say the organs are not as perfect as it could be, there may be issues about it.
Yeah.
But because we are short of organs, the fact that he might die from his failure faster than from this thing, the organ may still be offered to the person, and then but he has the right. He has the right that he wants. It's not because, oh, it comes from this race, it comes from this, a short person, or it comes. So, recipient only if it is, but they need to, they will not be penalized if they do that.
All right, the calls are coming through thick and fast, 0377109000. We've got Lee on the line. Lee, you're on the air. What's your question for Dr. Leila?
Okay, I am given to understand that the family unit actually is the last decision maker or the ultimate decision maker.
Yes.
Whether or not an organ can be donated.
Yes.
So if that is the case, I'm wondering, then why bother to sign up?
Okay.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, because when it's a very difficult decision for family to make when they don't at the time of death, it's so much easier if they know it's the wish of the person. Okay, the law is such that it is. We have an opt-in law where we actually can do the donation if it is expressed, but it's an expressed consent by the donor during his lifetime, either written or in verbal form, and or the family consent.
So once the person has opted in, there is no circumstance in which the family can object to that. The family,
we still need to get consent from the family. That's why we advise, right, when you signed up, inform your family members. And in fact, inform as many people as possible, because the more people who know, the more likely the donation can occur.
Yeah.
But the family also has the right to donate the organs of the deceased, even if the deceased hasn't signed up. They may have discussed, or they may not have discussed, but maybe the family feel this is the best thing that the person can do.
So, Dr. Leila, how often does that happen when it is the wish of the person in question that they've signed up, in their lifetime, but they didn't inform anybody, and then, they die, the parents find out, oh, he's actually an organ donor. How often does that conflict occur where the family is not thrilled about it?
It has happened. But you can count the numbers.
Okay.
Because the family usually, if it is expressed by the person over and over and you're consistent with that, it makes it a bit difficult for them not to honor the wish of the deceased. But if they put their foot down and say, no, we're not going to donate, we on our side, we couldn't, because it must be with blessing.
Sure.
Right, you will honour that. There are a lot of questions coming in as to finding out, who can be a donor and the rest of it. We will address those shortly. In the meantime, we want to head over to the phones where we have lots of calls waiting on the line.
And we will do so right after these messages. Don't go anywhere. It's Tom Back right here on BFM 89.9.
Time for the 4 T's. Tweet, text, talk, talk back on BFM 89.9.
Folks, it's Talk Back here with Caroline and Ezra. In the studio with us is Dr. Leila, head of the National Transplant Resource Center. It's an appropriate guest because we're speaking about organ donation this evening.
Yep, inviting you to call in any questions for the good doctor. She's here to answer them, and also for you to indicate interest if indeed you would like to be an organ donor. Our producers are on standby. Don't worry, Dr. Leila is not going to head over to you with a scalpel and a lecture for your family. That's not going to happen.
That's not what's happening.
That's not part of the plan, okay? Yeah. So do give us a call.
0377109000 is the number to call. Lou is on the line. Now, Lou, you have a family that is an organ transplant survivor. Tell us a little bit more about that story, and you're on the air right now.
Okay, my father is a recipient of an organ transplant, and he had his kidney transplant, not locally in Malaysia, but in overseas. And the transplant lasted for 8 years, and he's still now back to dialysis, but he had a good time when he had a transplant. So I myself is a donor, so I actually strongly support organ donation. But just the thing is, I would like to know the possibility of having an opt-out in Malaysia, because currently we need to register as a voter, as a donor. But is it possibility that everyone is a donor unless you choose not to?
No, because ours is opt-in, so that means it must be expressed consent. Actually, there have been a few ministers who were saying, why not we become opt-out?
Mm-hmm.
But as I mentioned before, to become opt-out, it means that every citizen must be informed. They must know that if they don't want to donate, they have to register somewhere.
Well, essentially, it's like, EPF, reducing the rate.
Right.
You have to sign a form, fill one up, and opt out.
Well, who knows? Yeah. The virtues of an informed citizenry. you might have it.
Because otherwise, can you imagine, even in an opt-out, like in Singapore, there was a time when they had to call the police in. You know, it brings something that is very, very ugly and very, unless everybody is aware and they have already expressed, because they said this one has never discussed.
Yeah.
So it may be easier to implement in other, but in our country,
we're not quite there yet, necessarily.
Particularly with our country with different ethnic background, with different religious belief, with different, and so many parts of our population that has yet to have access to full information.
Yeah.
I don't know whether we could implement it yet.
We're going to move on to our next caller. Hugh is on the line. Hugh, tell us what your question is.
Hi. I've just got a query on the statistics. Dr. Layla's mentioned that in Malaysia there's one donor per million
population.
People.
Yes.
Now, that would make the number of donors in Malaysia about 28.
No, we have about our population of 30 over
million.
This is last year. Now, this year has been terrible. Last year, we had 71 donors, but of which 31 were organ donors after brain death, and the rest, about 40, were actually tissue donors after cardiac death. Tissue, we mean eye or bones, heart valves. They actually wanted to donate everything, but because they died by cardiac death or circulatory death, we are not like other countries where they've got the resources to do DCD. DCD, that means donation of organs after the heart had stopped. Mm. We don't have the resources, we don't have the policies, and I think understanding yet to implement that. And anyway, why should we have that when we have enough brain dead patients because of a high death on the road?
Hugh, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. I must say the program's been very interesting, and I'm going to get myself along and get signed up.
Oh, that's
congratulations, Hugh.
Well done. Well done, Hugh.
And if you want to sign up, and the best way is to go online to our website, www.dermaorgan.gov.my. We will send a card in about... But if you don't get the card within 2 weeks, please, 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 please let us know. We have got complaints. People say, oh, 6 months ago, I signed up and never got the card.
That's very frustrating on your end, I'm
because
sure.
Because the thing is, we've posted the card. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we had quite a few returns.
Yeah.
You know, so if you don't receive it in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, please let us know by email, you know, at ntrc@moh.gov.my, or by our phone, or even our, the best is our free phone, 1-800-889-0080, or on our Facebook. And we will send back the card. We'll check with you, is the address correct?
Yeah, somebody will get in touch with you for sure.
And if you want to sign up online like Hugh, I suspect we'll be doing dermaorgan.gov.my.
Or if not, Ezra, next this Saturday, we'll be starting our Minggu Kesedaran Pertemuan Organ or National Organ Donation Awareness Week. We're celebrating 1 week. We are going to have a street campaign actually all over Malaysia. You will see people in orange or with the green ribbon sign.
Right.
And if they come to you and start talking about donation, don't chase them away. Okay, get the info and then sign up. Or go to any hospital and clinic.
All right, we're going to move on to our next caller. Wong is on the line. Wong, tell us what your question is.
Yeah, good afternoon. My question is, I'm a diabetic patient and I donate the organs.
Okay, now, if you want to pledge, anybody can sign up, because this is just to express your wish. We don't even do your screening, because what happens to at the time of death, we do need a good history from the family, of your social and of your medical, social and family history, and we will do all the investigation that we need to make sure that the organs are safe, organs still could be used, and so even though you are diabetic, but if you're well controlled, we still maybe might be able to use your kidney.
So when you say you're going to do all the investigation, is the family then supposed to run around and look for that information?
As I mentioned before, somebody dies by brain death, is in an ICU. It may be in a government hospital, it may be in a private hospital. Mm-hmm. They've done the first test, they will refer to us. Then we will look at it and we will do all these tests together with the hospital doctors, right, and see is it suitable or not. Is this patient free from transmissible diseases, infection, HIV, hepatitis, high risk behavior and all that. And then we will offer the organs to the recipient side, the teams. If they have a desperate case that is a do or die, they might actually take even this case.
All right, we've got one more caller before we head towards the 7 o'clock news. It's Hyrule on the line. Hyrule, you're on the air with Datin Dr. Layla. Tell us what your question is.
Yeah, I have a question. Is there any restriction for organ donation? Because I cannot donate blood because I was in UK in 1996.
I know, just like me, I can't donate blood, but I'm a donor pledger. Why they worry about donating blood? Because there's worry about mad cow disease. Mm. It couldn't be.
Right.
You know, and that is blood. But organs, because you know, you're more likely to die from your organ failure than you are to die from mad cow disease if they were to be donated. Because mad cow disease will take a long, 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 long time to manifest if you do have it. Because right. most probably you don't have it. But, you know, so we do still take, but there are restrictions, as I said, we will do that at the time of death.
All right, Harold, hope that answers your question.
So please do sign up, Harold, if you're thinking about it.
Yep, and, you know, lots of tweets, which we will get to after the news, lots of questions coming in for Dr. Leila. You can keep those calls coming in on 0377-109000.
Folks, as mentioned, you know, when it comes to organ and tissue transplants in the country, Malaysia is amongst the lowest in the world. The current rate stands at one donor per 1 million population. Hopefully, this program will increase awareness, increase the sign-up rate. In the studio with us is Datin Dr. Leila, head of the National Transplant Resource Center. If you have any questions, this is the time to call us on TalkBack. Folks, we'll be right back after the 7 o'clock news, BFM 89.9.
Get in touch right now. Call 03-77-10-9000. Text 01620-19000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. This is TalkBack on BFM 89.9.
Hey folks, it's Caroline and Ezra. Of course, welcome back to TalkBack. We've been speaking for the past hour about organ donation, and we have heard from all sorts of different folks, people who have questions about organ donation, of course, recipients, survivors, and we want to hear more from you folks. 03-77-10-9000. Of course, you can text us 016-201-9000 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We also actually have a poll taking place, and just trying to give a sense as to what the sentiment has been since we started this discussion about an hour ago.
Actually, I don't know whether this is quite reflective, and Dr. Leila, you'll be able to weigh in. So we've asked everyone whether or not they're an organ donor. The answers are yes, no, we'll sign up, and never, with 25% saying yes, 36% saying no, 34% saying they will sign up, and 5% saying never. Is that more or less a reflection?
Well, but I think there's an improvement from earlier when you mentioned there were 44% who were never, who said that they did not.
They.
So I think there is as they're listening to the answers, and not only that, the discussion. I think people who are having that just like Ezra, I'm sure Ezra at the end of this would like to.
Oh, no. I mean, and of course, you know, I was speaking to Lee Chui Lin about a few hours ago about this obstacle, but as to why, I mean, I think principally, and with everything that we've spoken about, I feel like I definitely would want to donate my organs. And I'm just trying to think, if I've been hesitant at least about this act of signing up, does it reflect other people's sentiments as well?
I think for some of them, they said they actually were thinking about it, but they didn't know where.
Yeah.
Then there is also that, you know, I'm too busy. That's why we're trying to make it easy by that you can register online.
Yeah.
But even if you can't register, why don't you just have that conversation with your family?
Just have that first.
Have that discussion so that people know that you actually have no objection. And in fact, if you if you want to donate, I'm just too lazy to go and sign up. Let as many people know, I have no objection. That's what our first speaker, caller called it.
Yeah, that's right. dermaorgan.gov.my is the website.
.gov.my.
Yep, that's right. Folks, moving on to our caller is Victor. Hi, Victor, you're on the air.
Hi, good evening, Dr. Leila. This is Ezra and Caroline.
Hi, Victor.
Hi.
Victor, you called in to talk about this topic in 2014. Did you sign up?
Yes. No, not yet. So
you still have unanswered questions?
Yes. So, no, because it's just for lack of follow-up rather than anything else. So I think it doesn't matter.
But have you discussed that with your family?
Okay. I just discussed it with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it doesn't matter what I say here. I think it does matter what I do.
Yes.
So I have given the producer my this info.
Oh, Victor. Bless you.
Then both of us, we are more than willing to sign up. Because
congratulations,
after all,
Victor.
We are just
you have seen the light.
We are just making a pledge to give something away, which definitely we have no use of if it comes to that.
Yeah.
And it might not be of use anyway, because I hope this is a very selfish thought. I hope the harvesting of the organs would not take place for a long time. Oh. So, Dr. Okay. Laila,
yes?
Is there an expiry date for the organ that is functionable, that can be harvested?
Okay. The organs we are taking from a brain dead patient, the patient is actually still on a ventilator. We still try to maintain the circulation as well as possible until everything is in place. Because not only to get all the consent, to make sure that the organs are fine, are safe, and also recipient is waiting and ready. And if it's a case of accident or medical legal, we also need by law to get the clearance from the magistrate and all. So we have to maintain that, and we bring the teams from this respective transplant center to the place where the donor died, which is in the hospital that the donor is being ventilated in. And it's only when everything is in place in the OT and before the organs are removed that we actually switch off the ventilator. So the period of no circulation is short, okay? So, but of course, from the time of brain death, the longer we wait, the organs are going to deteriorate, particularly if you're of the older age group. And also, once the organs are removed, it has to be cooled, it has to be kept in special solution, and it has to be transplanted as quickly as possible. We are talking about hours. You know, like the heart and lung, within 4 to 6 hours, it must be transplanted and get a circulation. So, liver, about 12 hours, and the kidneys, about 24 hours. So that is a time factor. But as I said, sometimes the family cannot accept the death, and we had to give a few more time, or I can't talk about days, you know. Sometimes it's a day or two. The longer you wait, the organs may not become as good, particularly if they're from the older age group.
All right, moving on to our next caller. Anand is on the line. Anand, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Good evening. I like this topic. I'm not a donor yet, but I have two questions. The first one is, what are there any impediments to taking an organ? For example, I've had heart surgery when I was a teenager, congenital hole in the heart. So would that make it not valid anymore, as well as for other organs?
Okay, we will look at the function of the organ at the time of death. Now, because you've had surgery, you have something that's abnormal in the heart, probably your heart may not be suitable. Maybe it might even be that your valves, because sometimes the heart may not be suitable, we could use the valves, but maybe in this case it's not. But and then your eyes might be good. Your kidneys might still be good. Mm-hmm. Your liver, depending on your age, we will assess and do all the necessary investigation, get good history, and then to see that the organ is in good condition or in condition that could be used, rather. Because sometimes it's marginal, it still could be used. Particularly when it is kidney. The liver, the heart, the lung, we may be a bit more stringent. We take it even from a relatively younger age group. But for kidneys, it may not work immediately. That's all right, because we can always support the recipient post-transplant with dialysis. And then the kidneys may work sometimes a few days later, sometimes a few weeks later. We even have up to 3 months later. Mm. But after that, it works. And we can support that recipient after the transplant with dialysis. We can't do that with the other organs. So with the other organs, we are much, much more stringent in the criteria.
All right, moving on to our next caller. Tay is on the line. Tay, I understand that you want to give feedback on actually donating. Tay, you on the air?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah. Okay, I actually think that most of the Chinese, especially the Chinese, they are reluctant to donate the organs, as the Chinese are always saying that when you die, you have to die one piece. And to me, I think that when we go, we can't bring along all these things with us. Why we want to burn it, let it have all the worms to eat up all the organs, and why don't we leave it to the people who need of it? Yeah. I'm actually a donor as well. But
A pleasure. You haven't donated yet. A pleasure. May you have a long life.
Yeah, I've already donated.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, but the thing is, I haven't, that was quite some time ago when I did my blood donation. I actually signed up with them, but I did not receive any response from the...
Did you have a card? Do you have a card?
I don't have. I've got nothing here.
When did you sign up? Do you sign up online?
That was,
No, it was when I did my blood donation. They have got a form. Yes.
But on the form, there is a card, isn't it?
No, I did not. That was years ago.
Well,
okay. In that case,
you want to stay on the line so that our producers can get your number and sort you out.
I've already given it.
All right, there you go.
Good. We'll send you. And don't forget, we'll contact you and get your address. And we can give you the card, okay?
But
you have informed your family members. That's the most important. Because that donor card is not actually a legal document.
It's not binding.
Yeah. It is only an indicator card. The most important is for you to have that conversation and discussion with your family members so that they know your wish. They are the one that will make sure the donation happens.
Right.
Yeah, I understand that. But it's still my life that whichever part of myself that I need to donate, I can do it on my rights. But my wife is aware of it. My wife is also actually a pledger as well.
All right. Thank you very much for that.
And thank you and congratulations.
Yeah, we're getting, you know, these pledges one person at a time. I think that's the way to go in this past hour. Eric, you can see Caroline
is smiling away.
We've got another caller. Eric is on the line. He's got a few questions. Eric, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Hi, doctor. Actually, I'm also a pleasure of the organ donation.
Yes.
I have two questions regarding, just want to chat with you. First of all, it's because on the 4 year earlier, about 2012 like that, I was registered my organ donation in Utah there, Perak lah.
Yes.
If I am, say, touch wood on it, I'm giving this role. So, does my organ will be only harvested with base in Perak there?
No. This is for the whole country. It doesn't matter where you die. Most important, we are also training the hospital staff so that they can identify and they can give the family the chance if it's a suitable death, because you have to die a suitable death. That's the thing. The family is given the chance to have that discussion, and they will refer the case to us. So it can happen. We have had donors in Tawau, and we have had donors up in Perlis, everywhere, even in small hospital, in private hospital, in university hospital. But most important is, sometimes, as I say, hospital staff may become reluctant seeing it as an extra work. Then if the family knows of the wish, they can also bring it up. But we do not discuss that until after death, because sometimes the patient is not dead yet. When the patient is not dead, we thank, but let's deal when the time comes, not before.
All right. Okay. And of course, we're going to move on to our last few callers. Ng is on the line. Ng, of course, is another person who has pledged as an organ donor. Ng, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Caroline.
Hi.
And doctor. Okay, my name is Yi King. I actually pledged to donate my organ, I think, 2 months back while I was doing my blood donation. So while I was doing that, the person in charge explained to me all the terms and conditions, so I'm happy to say that I've done that.
And you got a card?
Yeah.
Okay, congratulations.
Well done.
Thank you very much. So hopefully I can raise the statistics.
All right.
And now that you have signed up, look after your body, look after your organ, practice healthy lifestyle. Okay.
Yes,
terrific
Thank
stuff.
You.
Thank you very much. And okay, we've got one more caller. Gobi is on the line. I love this final few callers. There's been a flourish of folks who have pledged to sign up and donate their organs. Gobi is on the air. Hi, Gobi.
Hi, guys. I'm a full organ donor. Basically, you can take everything of mine once I'm gone. The thing is, I lost my wallet about some time back, and I'm wondering how do I get a new card.
Why don't you call our resource center at that number, 1-800-889-0080. We can send you a card. Or if not, if you see, because this Saturday is the start of the organ donation week, and we are going to have a street campaign throughout the whole country. You see anybody, walking with the green ribbon sign, which says Satu Ikhlas Sejuta Harapan, I'm sure they can give you the spare card, because it's only an empty card. It's for you to fill up. And remember to keep that card with the IC all the time, and have that discussion all the time. And in fact, just for everybody knowledge, With this Minggu Kesedaran Penderimaan Organ, we are going to have, as I said, street campaign everywhere. And in KL, you're going to see them in the LRT because we are working together with the Prasarana.
Terrific.
And NKF and many other NGOs and other members of, you know, universities and all. And you will see people in orange. You know, we're not Abana, but we are with the green rib, the green heart sign, which says Satu Ika Sejuta. And going about to say, let's talk.
Right.
Let's talk, because I will talk to you about donation. If you want to sign up, don't want to sign up. You go back and talk with other people. If you have signed up, inform your wish. If you are not have not signed up, talk
ask
to your
questions,
family.
Yeah.
Ask questions. And also say, Mom, you know my wish. What is your wish? You let me know so that I know what to do if you should die before me.
It's a great dinner conversation, I'll
yes.
tell you that. Caroline, you know, I mean, we've gotten, it's an interesting thing because I think a lot of questions that have been put by members of the public, it's some of the most basic questions that will actually tip over their decision saying, you know what, I have no other questions left to ask and I can sign up now.
Yeah, but there are
good.
There are a lot asking, you know, similar questions to what came in a little earlier. You know, I have thalassemia, I'm diabetic, you know, can I donate? And I think, Doctor, you answered that a little earlier in that you can pledge and the doctors will do the
yes.
necessary tests to check to see for suitability.
And when the person wants to donate, we try as hard as possible to fulfill that wish.
Yep.
You know, even if it's I, unless, of course, he's got disease that we may make it, he's a transmissible disease, then we may not be able
okay,
to.
This one. How secure are the identities of people who pledge their organs for donation kept? You know, is this information safe?
Okay, the information that is in the register, okay, nobody else can access. So that's why when they want to check, they cannot check online themselves. They have to call us. Mm. Only we can check that. And even at the time of death, the hospital will call us. But we actually, whether the person is in the register or not, it doesn't matter. But we will check. If they, even if they don't carry a card and we say, oh, yes, he's on our register, then they will know that he's a pledger.
Okay, this next one. What if I signed up as a donor in two countries, Malaysia and Australia? Who will have my organs when I pass
your
away?
Your organs will go to where you die because your organs have to be moved very
quickly. Yeah.
So it will, because it has to benefit a human being. And a human being, it doesn't matter where they are.
Right. This one saying, as a foreigner living in Malaysia, can I register?
Okay. Actually, I think we could, because before we said we didn't. But we have quite a number of people who actually died and donated here. And in fact, in the early days, they were mainly foreigners.
Right.
They can, as long as they have their family here. But to sign up, they can sign up. But actually, this donor card is actually meant for Malaysians, but we're actually opening it up to all.
Chris saying, can I donate my whole body instead for medical research?
Yes, they can if they want to sign up with the silent mentor. And even when they want to donate their body to research, they can, if they want to donate organs, let us know, because usually they will take the organs first, because the organ must be taken fresh, then they donate the body after that.
All right, this one's saying, how many days does it take for the deceased's body to be returned back to the family
actually,
for the burial ceremony?
Okay, it is very, we try to expedite it as fast as possible. If it is brain death, the time of death is the time when we confirm brain death, but the donor is still actually on the ventilator with a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to make sure that we get the transplant done as quickly as possible. And immediately after that, if post-mortem is required, we expedite. So at the most, by the following day or the following afternoon. But sometimes we must remember, we want to do it well so that it can benefit many people with a good outcome. We want to make sure the donor body is also, we don't do it chin-chai.
Mm.
We must make sure that all laws and legal requirement is maintained. And the next thing is, we must make sure before we take out the organs, the recipient is waiting in the respective transplant center. And this very much is logistic. But we expedite. And if we find that it's going to take too long, if it's multi-organ, then we take what is the most needed and maybe the rest not.
Right. This question at the moment, and I think this is important so that everyone has a sense of context. How many people are waiting for organ transplants?
Okay, it's more than 20,000. Mm. To be exact, I have as of end of September, 20,664. And 20,640 are waiting for kidneys. Because kidneys, for both your information, they can live long time on the dialysis. In fact, not everybody actually is suitable for transplant. And do you know that every year we have this from our data from the registry, we have 5,000 to 7,000 new patients that end up with end-stage kidney failure. That's why the Ministry of Health is putting so much emphasis on don't smoke, cut down that sugar, cut down the weight, a healthy lifestyle. It's because we have got a high diabetes rate and we have got high hypertension. People are abusing their bodies. And because of that, you increase the need. 5,000 to 7,000, mind you.
And just on that number, how does that compare to other countries? Is that a pretty high number?
No, I mean, our country, the trouble is, I mean, of course, like US, they have a larger population. Sure. So they may have got a large number, but they got a larger number of people who are donating and much, much larger number of transplant. But if we consider for that number of people waiting in a year, we can probably get about less than 100 kidney transplant done. That kidney transplant includes those that are from deceased donor and also from living relatives.
Yeah.
Okay. Now even relatives, because dialysis is freely available or more available compared to before. Because before, you don't get transplant, actually a death sentence. So because of that, families donate. Now even the families are not donating so much.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, our people are going overseas to buy organs, which itself is against the law in those countries. They put themselves at risk because they can go there and spend money and get nothing. Or worse still, because the organ is become a commodity, they come back with problem, you know, whether infection or with complication.
Right. Just a couple of messages saying that they've been meaning to sign up for the longest time. They just did, thanks to the show, and thank you for all the information, Dr. Leila.
I'm glad that you
very, very glad to hear that. So just so you know, the National Transplant Resource Centre is the only government body that handles organ donation pledges, data records
from
throughout
everywhere.
Malaysia. You know, and
manage the donors.
And managing the donors as well. So if, and all those questions, right, if you have incomplete information, you're not sure if your registration went through, you lost your card, you want to download pledge forms, all the information that you need is actually on dermaorgan.gov.my.
Or go on our Facebook.
Go on the Facebook, look for them.
Go to our
them.
Twitter and our YouTube.
Or you can call 1-800-889-0080. I'm going to repeat that for you. 1-800-889-0080.
All right, folks, that's all the time we have. We've been speaking about organ donation. The guest in our studio has been Datin Dr. Leila, head of the National Transplant Resource Centre. Dr. Leila, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Let's get those numbers out once again. 1-800-889-0080. You can, of course,
office hours, yeah? They'll be calling now and there'll be nobody there.
And, of course, you can visit the website at dermaorgan.gov.my. If you missed any part of this conversation, download the podcast at our website, bfm.my. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.